Today's shir is Masechta Tefachim Daf Tzadik Tes. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Tes on an Aleph, right at the beginning at the Gemara. We learned in the previous shir in the Mishnah that people who are disqualified from doing the Avodah, such as a Tefil Yoyim, who is a person who was Tamei and even went to the Mikveh but just didn't have Herev Shemesh, or Mechusuk Purim, that in certain situations the Torah says that somebody, besides going through the entire Tahara process, must also bring a kapara, bring a carbon, and until he brings the carbon, he's a mechusuk purim. Don't get a even though at night they'll be already able to eat from the karbonis that were brought that day, still, the halach is that these individuals don't get a shear. They could eat. Another kind could share with them, but they don't get their own shear. Ask them anonymously, from where do we know this halacha? So the Mefarshim immediately ask that at the end of the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah quoted a pasuk that clearly teaches us where we know this halacha. V'schel b'nei Aaron, v'amakr v'sam ha'shlom v'schel b'nei Aaron, lo yisi ha'shoik hayomin l'mona. So why is the Gemara asking what is the source if the Mishnah clearly gave us a source? So indeed, even though we have this girsa in the Mishnah that has this pasuk, there are those that don't have this girsa, and that's why some Farshim explained the Gemara asked the question. However, specifically, according to our girsa, how do we understand the Mishnah? So I saw the Farshim explain as follows. The Mishnah spoke about two times where we would think that the Kohen has to be eligible to do the Avodah in order to be able to get a shear. There's the time of Zrikas Adam, and there's the time of Hekta Chalovim, when the actual Amorim were burnt. Says Seder Mefarshim. And in fact, we're going to learn later in our Perek that this is indeed the opinion of Abba Shaul. That Abba Shaul holds that in order for a Kohen to be eligible to get a shear of the carbon, he has to be tahor both at the time of Zrikas Dam and at the time of Hekdech Halovim. And if I only had the pasuk that our Mishnah quoted, we would clearly think that is the din. Because let's learn that pasuk. The pasuk says, Hamakrav is Dam Hashlam, which refers to the Zrikas Adam, Vesachelev, which refers to that Hekdech Emurim. So we would learn that in order for a Kohen to get a shear, he has to be tar at both times. So ask the Gemara, but we know that our Mishnah doesn't paskin that way. And our Mishnah paskin that as long as the Kohen is tar by the Zrikas Hadam, that is enough that he should be entitled to a shear. So the Gemara is asking, the source of that halacha can't be the pasuk that the Mishnah quoted. There must be a different source. What is that source? To which Rish Lakish responds, Domakro, Hakoyin Hamachata Oiso Yechlena. Koyin Hamachate, the kind that does the Avodah with the Zrikas Adam. Before I should explain, how do we know that Machate means Zrikas Adam? So some suggest because that's what the word Machate means, to sprinkle, to clean. Others say that we know that the purpose of bringing a carbon is to absolve one of his chait, of his Aveira. And as we've learned many times in our Masechta, how does that get accomplished? With the Zrikas Adam. So Kohen HaMechate, the Kohen who does the Zrikas Adam, that serves the purpose of removing the chait, of removing the sin, Yoichel, he should eat from the carbon. Sheina Oichel, Sheina HaMechate, but the one that doesn't do the Zrikas Adam, Ena Oichel. Ask the Gemara of a Klolahu, is that indeed a hard and fast rule? Very mishmar kula the aim chatin v'oichlim. The halacha is that the kohanim were divided up into mishmaris. Actually, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu till the time of David, they were divided into 8 mishmaris. Then they were divided into 24 mishmaris, and those mishmaris were actually further divided every day into different batei av. So most people don't do the avoida, and yet they eat. Answers the Gemara, what the Gemara meant wasn't someone who actually is doing the avoida. What was meant was roi l'chita kumrin. We have to have somebody who's eligible, who's qualified to do the avoida. He gets a share. Ask the Gemara, but that isn't true because harei cotton, a child, a kain cotton, then a roi l'chita, that he clearly may not do the avoida, v'oichel, and he's still allowed to eat. So the question is, why? If we're saying that only someone who could do the avoida is allowed to eat, a katan is not an individual who could do the avoida. Ella says the Gemara, the way to interpret the pasuk is as follows: Ma yachlena, don't interpret the word yachlena to mean eating; rather, interpret the word yachlena to mean yachalkena, to get a share. And what the pasuk is teaching us is as follows: Roy lechitui, the kayin who's eligible to do the avoida, chaylik, will get a share. She'en roi l'chitui, but the kohen who's ineligible for doing the avoida, even though he'll maybe eat, but he won't get a share, ein chaylik. So as we discuss in our sugya, the halacha of kohanim eating of the kabbonis, there's a fundamental machlokes rishonim as to why. Rashi, the Rashba, learns there's a gzeres akasav. It's a gzeres akasav that the kohanim eat. It's a gzeres akasav how we divide it up, which kohanim get a share and which kohanim don't get a share. However, there are other rishonim that suggest, Rashi, Ramban, that the portion of the kabbonis that the kohanim eat is a schar, is a payment for the avoider. They don't get salary. They get a share in the carbon. And in fact, our Gemara is very understandable according to those Mefarshim. Because our Gemara is saying those Kohanim who are doing the Avoida are of the day that they're doing the Avoida, so they're entitled to salary. Others are not. Furthermore, there's a very interesting halacha that the Rishonim already quote. The halacha is that if Kabbonis are brought today, so, and there are portions of the kabbonis to be divided amongst the kohanim. Who gets those portions? How are they divided? They're divided amongst all of the kohanim of today's Beis Av. Even though, as I said a moment ago, there are six batei Av every week doing the avoida from every mishmar, the kabbonis are divided between the people of today's Beis Av. Whereas the halacha, there are certain entitlements to the kohen. Stei cherem, stei achuza, gezel hager, are all different situations which will come across in our learning the kachim masechtas that are given to the kohanim. There the halach is that if such a payment, if such an entitlement comes in this week, it's not divided amongst the kohanim of today's Beis Av, that if today it comes in all of the kohanim of today's Beis Av divided, rather, it's divided between all the kohanim of that mishmar. Why? If we're saying that it goes every day with that day's Beis Av, shouldn't that be the same for these payments? But according to the way Rashi explains, the Ramban explains, it's very understandable. The payment, the kabbonis, as we said, are payment for doing the avoida. So today's Beis Av is supposed to do the avoida and the kabbonis, not tomorrow's Beis Av. However, when kohanim gets the achuzan, stay cherim, and gets lager. That isn't payment for avoida. There's no avoida involved by the kohanim to get paid. So therefore, we don't look at it today's Beis Av. We look at the whole mishmar dividing it. Actually, there's another interesting machlokes between the Chasam Sofer Beis Halevi, which I've referred to in previous shurim. The Chasam Sofer says that the mitzvah is for the kohen to eat the kezayis, to eat from the carbon. That's the mitzvah. And the Chasam Sofer, interestingly, goes on to say a very interesting chiddush. The Chasam Sofer says that, and with the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the Chasam Sofer is very understandable, that not only is there a mitzvah for a kohen, and therefore, because it's a mitzvah, whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, you have to eat at least the kezayis, but the kohen, which is the first kohen that should eat, the kohen who does the avoida. And with Rashi's pshat, it's very gishmak, because it's payment. So which kohen is most entitled to payment? The kohen who did the avoida. And in fact, some cipher says that let's say there'll be a situation where for some reason none of the carbon is left besides one kazayis of that carbon. The kayin who brought that carbon, who did the avoid with that carbon, so there's nothing to divide, should get it. Why? Because he's most entitled to payment. Beis Halevi has a very different approach to the mitzvah of kahanim eating the carbon. He says there is no individual mitzvah on any specific kohen to eat from the carbon. Rather, explains the Beis Halevi, that the mitzvah is that all of the meat of the carbon should be consumed, but it's not an individual mitzvah. In fact, the Miches Chinuch asks a question. The Miches Chinuch asks a gewaldige question. Our Gemara just taught us that the cotton, a kohen who's a cotton, even though he doesn't get a shear, the halacha is that he's allowed to eat from the carbon. So ask the Miches Chinuch, if there's a mitzvah to eat of the carbon, so of course, how can we give it to a cotton? A cotton is not a bar mitzvah. A cotton is not an individual who could fulfill a mitzvah. So according to the Beis Halevi's approach, that it isn't an individual mitzvah on any specific individual to eat the carbon. It's just a mitzvah that the carbon should be consumed. So if a kohen cotton, the Torah lets him eat, so the carbon got consumed, it doesn't make a difference who consumed it. However, according to the Sam Sofer, how will we understand? So Miches Chinuch says a very interesting teretz. He says that there's only a chiyuv, the mitzvah is fulfilled by one kazayis of the carbon being eaten. So if you have here a carbon that is now being given to Kohanim, as long as one kazayis of that carbon, says the Miches Chinuch, is eaten by a kohen that's a gadol, then the mitzvah has been fulfilled, and the rest could even be eaten by ketanim. But interestingly, I saw the Achronim ask another question. The Torah is telling us, they ask, that the kohen, cotton, is allowed to eat from the carbon. So ask the Achronim, let's understand. The Torah wasn't written for ketanim. There's no mitzvah by cotton. Cotton's not mechuy by mitzvah. And there's no aveira by cotton. So the Torah doesn't speak to kahanim. So what do we have to say that the kohen cotton should eat? And if he does eat, and if we eat kachim, and we're not supposed to eat kachim, so we're over an aveira. Yisrael, that eats karbonis, that he's not supposed to eat, is an aveira. By cotton, there's no aveira. He's a cotton. So what's pshat that the Torah is teaching us that a cotton eats? That chroidim ask. So they say gvaldigateretz. When we have a rule throughout Shas, that ketanim are not mechuy v'mitzvahs, ketanim are not over averus. What does that mean? We have a mitzvah that we have to put on tefillin every day. Cotton doesn't have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. Even if he puts on tefillin, there's no mitzvah. We have an averu, we're not allowed to eat macholos asuris. If somebody eats rachmon al tzlam macholos asuris, he transgressed an averu. A cotton eats macholos asuris, he didn't transgress an averu. But that doesn't mean that a cotton is allowed to take somebody else's thing and say, I'm going to be a ganef if I'm a cotton. When do we say that ketanim don't have mitzvahs and averus? That's ben adam lamakum. There is no mitzvah ben adam lamakum or an avera ben adam lamakum that applies to ketanim. But that doesn't mean that just because somebody's a cotton, he's allowed to walk into his house, somebody else's house, and take somebody else's item. I'm a cotton. Because that has nothing to do with ben adam lachaveroi. So now we understand very well what the Torah has to say, that a cotton is allowed to eat from kabbonis. Because were the Torah not to teach us this halacha, so how could a cotton eat the carbon? It belongs to the kahanim. He's stealing if he eats. So the Torah says, there's no ben adam l'chaveri, the cotton's allowed to eat. Ask the Gemara, but if so, harei balmum. A balmum, the en royal chitui, he's not qualified to do the avoida. And yet, as we learned in the Mishnah, the chaylik, he gets a shear. And as the Mefarshim explain, the Gemara doesn't only mean a balmum. The Gemara refers also to somebody who's a shesuya yayin, someone who drank wine. We know a kohen who drank wine is not allowed to do avoida. We know a kohen who's a puri roish, who let his hair grow, is not allowed to do the avoida. And yet the Gemara is saying, why do they get a shear? And furthermore, a very fundamental question in the Rishonim, why indeed do the balimum get a shear in the kabbonis? So according to the Rajba that's been following the approach that this is all Gzeiras HaKasav, there's no reasoning here, so it's not much of a question. But according to Rashi, who says that the reason a Kohen gets a share of the carbon is because he did the Avoid, and this is his payment, the Baal Mum didn't do Avoid, so why indeed does he get a share? So Rashi explains that the Baal Mum did do Avoid. They weren't allowed to do the actual Avoid of the carbon, but the Lach is the Baal Mum were those that would inspect the wood if they had any worms in them. We're going to speak extensively later in our parak about the skin of a carbon being removed from the animal. That was done by the Baal Mum. So they did do Avoida, and that's why they're entitled to a shear. So again, but ask the Gemara, if we established in our shear today that only the one who did Avoida is entitled to a shear, so why does the Baal Mum get a shear? Answers the Gemara, Baal Mum Rachmana Rabbi. The Torah clearly gave him right teeth. Because the Torah says, Kol Zocha B'Kahanim, what do we learn from those words? L'Rabbis Baal Mum, that a Baal Mum gets a shear. Ask the Gemara. So now we have this pasuk called Zohar that comes to include somebody who normally ought not to get a share. Ask the Gemara. Maybe we should say the Kozocher is coming to teach us that the Tful Yoim, who we learned in the Mishnah, is excluded from getting a share, will get a share. Answers the Gemara. If we have to include somebody, it makes more sense to include a Bamum versus because the Baal Mum is allowed to eat it. The Tful Yoim is not allowed to eat. Ask the Gemara, you can make an argument the other way. At the Rabbah, Tful Yoim Havalei L'Rabuyei. We should say that the Tful Yoim is the one that should get a share in the Kabbonis. The Lord, the Mechsi Hachsi. The Baal Mum, today is Baal Mum, and tonight is Baal Mum. The Tful Yoim, as we said at the beginning of our shir, yes, today he's still a Tful Yoim. Yes, today he needs to wait the Lair of Shemesh. But tonight he's going to be a perfect Kayin. Answers the Gemara, Hashtamir Haloi Chazi. Right now, he has this disqualification. The knot that prevents him from eating the Karbonis. So we look at the now, not looking at the future. And I saw a Gaval de Gavart from Baron Leim Shteyman in the Sefer Yel Sashacha in this Gemara. He says this Gemara should be viewed as a lesson in life. Sometimes people need to make decisions. And the decision, if you look at the here and now, you make one decision. And if you look at the future, you may make a different decision. So what decision should you follow? Our Gemara says look at the here and now, not at the future. Because you don't know what the future has in store anyway. Rav Yosef Weimer says, Rav Yosef, Michti. So how has the Gemara translated the word Yechlena? That even though the Torah uses the words Yechlena, we've translated to mean Yechakena. That those that are qualified get a share, those that to do the Avoid get a share, others do not. Asks Rav Yosef, if that's what the Torah meant, Lichtoiv Rachmana Yechalkena. So the Torah should have written what it meant. Why does the Torah ask the Gemara, Ma Yechlena? Why does the Torah use the word Yechlena if it could have meant Yechalkena, Shmamina, to teach us, Roy Lechila, only somebody who's qualified to get a shear, Chaylik, to eat, will get a shear, Shein Roy Lechila, and a Chaylik. So as the Mefarshim explained what Rabbi Yosef is saying, Rabbi Yosef isn't disagreeing with what we learned earlier. He's certainly agreeing that Yechalkena should be divided, should be explained as we explained at the beginning of the shir, that only someone who's qualified to do the avoida gets a shir. But now we're saying something even further. You also have to be somebody who's qualified to eat, otherwise you won't get a shir. Ask the Gemara, by Rish Lakish, what will be the halacha, ask Rish Lakish, if you have an individual who's a Baal Mum v'u Tameh? He's both a Baal Mum and he's Tameh. Ma'al Shiach Gloy, will he get a shir? Kivin, do we say, Kivin to Lechazi, when he's a Baal Mum, he's also not qualified to do the Avoida. Yet, Rachmana Rabbi, the Torah said that the Baal Mum is an exception to the rule, that even though he can't do the Avoida, he should still get a shear. And therefore, Loishna Mali, Tomei Mali, Baal Mum, it doesn't make a difference if he's also Tuma. Aduma, Roy Lachila Chaylik, Shana Roy Lachila Ena Chaylik. Only someone who can actually eat of the carbon should get a share. Someone who actually can't eat should not get a share. And this individual, being Tamei, should not get a share. And I saw the Achronim have a beautiful way of explaining this Gemara. They say that Reish Lakish's question is based on a dilemma. In our shiur today, we've learned two halachas. One halacha is that the Torah says that a Baal Mum gets a shiur. Even though we would argue they shouldn't, the Torah explicitly says he does. In our shiur today, we've also learned that a Tomei does not get a shiur. So now we have a dilemma. When you have an individual who has both of these characteristics, on one hand he's a Baal Mum, on the other hand he's a Tomei. Which is the stronger limud? Do we follow the limud of Baal Mum that teaches us give a Baal Mum a shiur? It doesn't make a difference what else he has, what other defects he has. Or do we follow the halacha that if somebody is Tomei, and therefore since he's Tomei, he's not entitled to eat? That is the primary limud. And therefore, if he's Tomei, he's never going to get a shiur, no matter what or where. That's the Gemara's dilemma. To which the Gemara responds, Amar Rav, Tashma. We're going to spend a lot of time in our perek discussing the concept of aninus. The simplest definition of aninus, which is all we're going to work with in today's shiur. We'll get into more complicated and more deeper understanding of aninus as we get into the perek. Is that the day where someone, one of the someone's seven close relatives passed away, the seven close relatives was somebody, Rechman Tzlan, has to sit shiva, that day, the Yom Hamisa, he's an oinin. And the halach is that a kohen who's an oinin is not allowed to do the avodah. A kohen gadol is an exception to the rule. A kohen gadol who's an oinin is allowed to do the avodah. The reason is very obvious. Because even though the halach is that normally a kohen is not allowed to become tamei, by the seven close relatives, he does become tamei. Kohen Gadol, even by the seven close relatives, doesn't become Tamei. And therefore, even if one of those relatives unfortunately passed away, he's still allowed to do the Avodah. However, Paskins the Braisa. Kohen Gadol Makriv Oinen. He could do the Avodah, as we just said, even though he's an Oinen. However, Vein Oichel. Even though the Torah gave him a dispensation to do the Avodah, doesn't allow him to eat. And therefore, Vein Echolik. Lerev. And he doesn't get a shear. Even though tonight, he's not going to be an oinin anymore. So what do we see from here? That what is the overriding fact to make a decision if you get a shear? Royal Achilabinin. Could you right now eat or not? If you can't, then you don't get a shear. And therefore the Kohen Baal Mum Tomei, even he's Tomei, he can't eat, he doesn't get a shear. Shema Mina. Similar question. Bar of Oishia. Tomei Bekabonis Sibur Mahu. What would our look if somebody is Tomei and a carbon sibur was brought? And again, the Rishonim, starting by Rashi, helped frame the Gemara's question. We know there's a halacha, we've learned the halacha many times together, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, that if, under certain circumstances, by a carbon tzibur, if the Kohanim are Tameh, most of the Kohanim are Tameh, the carbon can be brought. However, go on the Rishonim to explain. The halacha is that if a carbon was brought by a Kohen who's Tameh, that carbon has to be burnt. So when our Gemara is speaking about a kohen tamei b'kabonas tzibur, it can't be referring to a situation where actually the kohen tamei brought the carbon. Because if the kohen tamei actually brought the carbon, the carbon is going to be burnt. So there's nothing to eat. We're referring to a situation where a kohen is a member of today's Beis Av, and a carbon tzibur was brought today. This kohen, he himself did not bring the carbon. Because as I said, if he would have brought the carbon would be burnt. But since, theoretically, he could have done the avoid of the carbon, because of the halach of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, is that enough of a reason that he should be entitled to a shear of that carbon? Let's read the words inside. Barav Roshia, Tameh B'Kabonat Tzibur Mahu, Sheikh Loiku, will be such a carbon be entitled to a shear? Mi'aminin, Hamachata Amarachmanah. The kohen we said at the beginning of the year who could do the avodah. V'hayna, I mean this kohen, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, is an individual who potentially could have done the avodah. V'hayna, I mean mechatuhu. Oidoma, perhaps, roi l'chil choylik, only such a kohen who could eat of the carbon could eat, get a shear, shayna roi l'chil choylik, and he's tamei, and a tamei can't eat from a carbon. To which the Gemara responds with the same teretz that we learned a moment ago, Amar vina tashma, kain godl makrav einen, vena eichel. He doesn't eat when he's an einen, even though he's the kain godl, vena chaylik. Lechlari, he doesn't get a shear. Why? Because right now he can't eat. Shma, we know from here we see that only an individual who at the time of division of the carbon is qualified to eat gets a shear, anyone else not. So we learned in the Mishnah that the Kayin who's an Oinin, Nageya, may touch Kachim, Veinim Makrif. Ask the Gemara, Oinin Nageya, if is an Oinin allowed to touch Kachim, Vriminu, the Mishnah says, in Masech Tachagiga, Oinin Mechusa Kippurim, both an Oinin and a Mechusa Kippurim, Tzrichin Tefila L'Kaidish, required to go to the mikveh before they could touch Kaidish. So here, how could they touch? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ami, Amar of Yochanan, Loikasha. Our Mishnah that allows the Oinin to touch is B'shetaval, when he already went to the mikveh, B'kam B'shloitaval. The Mishnah of Sechta Chagig is referring where he didn't go yet to the mikveh. Ask them, let's understand. Again, we need to follow. We're referring here to an individual who is an Oinin. So if this individual is actually an Oinin, so let's say he's an Oinin today. In the middle of the day, he goes to the mikveh. So what's the, and so that's why our Mishnah says, once he goes to the mikveh, he's allowed to touch. Why? V'chitavo mayhava. If he goes to the mikveh, that doesn't end his aninus. His aninus only ends at night. Hahadra le'aninus. So what's the teretz that he went to the mikveh? And therefore the Gemara is going to give a different teretz. But we know, those of us to listen, to learn our Shia together, know we have to try to understand a Havamina also. So what's the Gemara's Havamina? That he went to the mikveh in the middle of the day, and therefore he could touch. That going to mikveh in the middle of the day doesn't make him no longer an Einan. So I saw the Achronim say beautiful pshat. Why indeed did Chazal say that an Einan has to go to the mikveh? Because obviously, we're not referring to such an Einan who exposed himself to Tumah, that came close to the person that died and became Tamei. Because then he's a full-fledged Tamei. And if he's a full-fledged Tamei, of course he has to go through a Tahara process. And of course he can't come into contact with Kachim. So that's not the individual. So why indeed the Chazal say that this Oinin, it could be an Oinin, we could understand, let's say the mace is 100 miles away, so he doesn't come close to the mace, but he's still an Oinin. Why does this individual not have to go to the mikveh? So, the Mefarshim explained that Chazal made this rule because, and then, especially in the times of Chazal, a regular individual knew to be careful not to expose himself to Tumah. But here you have an Oinin, who close relative passed away. And therefore he's so much in contact with a dead person, he may forget himself. So he has to remember what is happening. So Chazal say, how do you remember? He can tell you you have to go to the mikveh. So could be, as long as he goes to the mikveh, Chazal's goal has been accomplished. And therefore, even though if he goes to the mikveh in the middle of the day, where he won't end being an Oinin until tonight, but Chazal's goal has been accomplished. And therefore, the Gemara that haven't been assumed, as long as he went to the mikveh, now he could touch Kachim. Answer the Gemara, no. Chazal wanted the period of Aninus to end, and then and only then can he go to the mikveh. So then we're back to the question, how does our Mishnah say that an Oinin could touch? Answers the Gemara. As the Gemara said, Amar Rav Huna, Oinin shetava aninasa chazer zolav, until the day ends. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Hada asach da'atei, hada loy asach da'atei. The Mishnah, our Mishnah is referring to an Oinin who never forgot. He was careful the whole time to make sure that he remained Torah. The Mishnah Masechta Chagiga is talking about a person who wasn't paying attention. And as the Rishonim point out, we have to understand the Gemara. What the Gemara is saying is, you're not innocent until you're proven guilty. You're guilty until you're proven innocent. That means, unless the Oinin, unless an individual clearly knows that he wasn't exposed to Tumah, we have to be concerned that he was exposed to Tumah. So if he was Masiach Das, then we have to consider him like a Tamei Meis. And Allah is, as we've learned, that somebody who's a Tamei Meis has to go through the entire Tahara process, which includes having the Paraduma mixture sprinkled on him. Don't have your stoiber mosan amar b'yoychanan. The halach is hesach hadas. Somebody can't clearly be sure that he's tar. The halach is tzarech hazosh lishvishvi. He has to have a full-fledged kapara, a full-fledged tahara. Answers the Gemara loikasha. Ha da asach date. When would he require shlishvishvi if he was mesiach das that he was not careful about being a tumas mess? Ha da asach date. But that's not what we're talking about. Even the Mishnah Masechta Chagiga, he knows that he didn't touch a Tomei Meis. Where wasn't he careful? The Tomei Sheretz. That he didn't come in contact with a Tomei Sheretz. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Tomei Sheretz, that he can't say for certain that he didn't get exposed to Tomei Sheretz, so again, Tomei Ma'al Yehu, he's a full-fledged Tomei. And therefore, Herav Shemes Boy, he has to wait for the day to pass. He has to go for the mikveh and wait for the day to pass. So why are we saying he goes to the mikveh and he's fine? Furthermore, asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Chagiga that says that the oinen requires tefillah is only regarding kachim, but not regarding truma. But if we're referring to an individual who was mesiach das from tumah sheretz, so then, and therefore because he was mesiach das from tumah sheretz, the Gemara is saying we have to treat him like an individual who was Tamei Sheretz. So then the halacha shouldn't be limited to kachim. V'ayda filo trumanami. He should not be allowed to eat truma. He should not be allowed to come in contact with truma. Because anybody who's Tamei is not allowed to come in contact with truma. Why does the Mishnah limit this halacha to kachim? Therefore, gives the Gemara different teretz. Amar b'yimaya. Ba'aymer, it's referring to an individual. Nishmati midavar tameini v'lo nishmati midavar paslani. Throughout Shas, we have a concept of tamei and we have a concept of posel. What is the difference? These two words are not synonymous in any way. The word tamei means an individual who is tamei midaraisa, that has the ability to pass tuma on. Paslani means that he's only tamei midrabbanan, and therefore he himself is posel, but he doesn't pass the tuma further. Nishmat midava atumimeni, v'lo nishmat midava paslani. And therefore, since he's such a low level tuma, we're only makbid, that he can't come in contact with kachim until he goes to the mikvah. But as soon as he goes to the mikvah, he's fine. Ask tomorrow, umiyakin terus lapalga, that is there such a possibility? You watch yourself only for this and not for that? Answer the Gemara, v'otanya. Indeed, there is such a concept. Because the Mishnah in Masechta Taharis discusses the following in the situation. Oideo sala roishai. That somebody is carrying a basket of figs on his head. Umagrefa betoichai. And in that basket there's some sort of an implement that they use to cut the figs. Voimer. And the person says, libi ala sal. I paid attention that the sal should not become tamei. Vein libi ala magrefa. But I wasn't paying attention about the magrefa. Says the Mishnah Daloch is Hasal Tahor, the Sal remains Tahor, but Magrefa Tameya. Ask the Gemara, what kind of case is this? If the Magrefa is in the Sal, and he's saying I wasn't paying attention to the Magrefa, and therefore we have to consider the Magrefa Tameh, the Tifa Magrefa Lasal. Shouldn't the Magrefa have the ability to be Matame the Sal? Answers the Gemara, Enkli Matama Oichel. One Kli cannot be Matama another Kli. So therefore, even though the Magrefa has to be considered Tamei, the Sal is not considered Tamei, and the Magrefa cannot be Matama the Sal. But ask the Gemara, Batitma Mishmash Batoicha, there's food in this Sal. So why shouldn't we say that this Magrefa, who he's saying he didn't pay proper attention to, should be Matama the figs, the fruit that's in the Sal? Why is the Mishnah paskening that the Magrefa is Tamei, everything else is Tar? To which Rava responds, I'm a Rava, but Omer, it's indeed referring to a situation, but Omer, Shemarteh Medava Tameya, I watch that it should not become Tamei Deraisa, but Shemarteh Medava. And since it's such a low-level issue, we're only worried about the Magrefa, and we're not worried about the Sal. So we see that it's possible to have a type of a shmira that only goes this far, but not all the way. Says the Gemara, Igilgam Nilsa, this conversation, this issue about the Einan touching or not touching, Umatl came up, actually the stira between our Mishnah Masechta Zvachim and the Mishnah Masechta Chagiga. Igilgam Nilsa Matl Kameh Reb Abba B'Mamel. This question came up to Reb Abba B'Mamel. Amalei L'Shmilei, have you not heard Hadam Reb Yochanan Amar Rav? Ha'oich L'Shlishi Shel Truma. The halacha is as far as levels of tuma is concerned. When it comes to chulin, the final level of tuma is a sheni l'tuma. When it comes to truma, the last level of tuma is a shlishi l'tuma. And when it comes to kachim, the last level of tuma is a revi l'tuma. Says the Gemara, oich shlishi shel truma. Somebody eats a food which is a shlishi, which is only an issue as far as truma is concerned. Asalechel, he himself is considered tamei by having consumed such a food, and therefore, since he's considered tamei, he's not allowed to eat truma and certainly kachim or mutaliga. But since it was such a low level tuma that he only ate a shlishi l'tuma and he didn't obviously touch it, it was put into his mouth, he's allowed to touch truma. Alma, so we see that Chazal made different rules. For Chayla, they were Machmer, and for Negiah, they were Mekel. Alma, Bachila, Ovid, Rabban, and Mala. As far as Achila, Chazal was stricter, but Negiah, Loi, Ovid, Rabban, and Mala. So now we can reconcile them to Mishnais. Our Mishnah is talking about an Oinen, touching. Chazal were Machmer, Oinen, as we explained in Amar Aleph. But they only Machmer, Oinen, should not eat Kachim. We're talking about an Oinen who's careful. He knows that he didn't become Tamei. Still, Chazal made a rule that he may not eat Kachim. The rule is only as far as eating is concerned. The rule is not as far as touching is concerned. So we learned in the Mishnah that Eina Chaylik Lechel, the Tfil Yoin doesn't get a shear. Or the Oinen doesn't get a shear. So ask the Gemara, Miflakud Alei Palik, what's our Mishnah saying? That since this person, unfortunately, at the time that the carbon is being divided, is an einan, he's not entitled to a shear. However, tonight, he's still a kain. And if he knows that he's tar, and tonight he's invited, he may eat from karbanos. V'chimaz min lay ochel. For many, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah says, in Masechet Pesachim, einan, toivov ochel es pescha b'erev. As far as the Karban Pesach, he's allowed to eat tonight. Avaloi b'kachim. He's not allowed to eat kachim. So we see that why Pesach is different? Because Pesach is a chiyuv karis. Mitzvah said that it's a chiyuv karis. But here we see that he's not allowed to eat kachim at night. How do we reconcile these two mishnayos? Answer the Gemara. Amar yoyamim edifti lo kasha. Kam b'Pesach. For Pesach, we're lenient. And we let him eat the Karban Pesach at night. Kam b'Shah. But Pesach, and therefore, once we're allowing him, and that's the case of our Mishnah, once we're allowing him to eat the Karban Pesach, given the special circumstances surrounding the Karban Pesach, Eid the Ocha Pesach, once we're allowing him, once Chazal allowed him to eat the Karban Pesach, Ocha Nami Shar Kachim, then he's allowed to eat even other Kabanas. However, B'Shai Mois Hashanah, where there is no overriding reason to be mekel, the loichazi, loichazi. Amai, so what does the Mishnah say in Masechet Pesachim, avaloi b'kachim? It doesn't mean the kachim that are going to be eaten Pesach by night. Because the kachim that are going to be eaten Pesach by night, he's allowed to eat. It means kachim shashai mois hashana. That means Pesach by night, because of the special circumstances around Pesach, our Mishnah teaches us that he eats the Pesach and he eats all other kabbalas with it. The concept the Rishonim say is a concept that we have many times in Shas, a concept of greira. Greira, I don't know how to say it in English, mitgeschleppt, gets dragged along. On the rest of the year, there's no greira, so he's not allowed to eat. Ravash Yama, another way of reconciling the two Mishnayos. Kanshala meis lemeis barba osur. And here we begin discussing the concept of aninus. As I said earlier in our shir, aninus means clearly the day that the person passed away. The question is, there are a number of questions that will all become clearer as we learn the sugya, I hope. One is, the night after the Yom HaMisa. That means if somebody passed away today and his relatives become Einanim, how do we view tonight? And again, the Mefarshim make a very important point. In Halacha, normally, how do we look at the day? We look at the day following the night. By Aninus, we look at the night following the day. Why? So they say Aninus, and this is the fundamental factor here, that Aninus has to do with tsar, with pain. So if somebody died today, and his relatives became Einanim tonight, even, of course, halachically, tonight is already considered the next day in halacha, we're not talking about today being one day and tomorrow being another day. We're talking about pain. And the pain continues through the following night. And therefore, there's a concept of the night after the Yom HaMisa. And then, afterwards becomes the Yom HaKfura. And then there's a fourth category. The night after the Kfura. So again, we have four situations. The day of death, the night after the death, the day of Kfura, and the night after the Kfura. And that's how Rav Asi should be understood. If the actual Ptira took place on Erev Pesach, the day when the Korban Pesach is brought, the current Rebbe Abba Osir, and then he was buried in Abba Osir. So the night of where the Korban Pesach should be eaten is the night after the Misa. Such an Oinon is not already kachin. That's the Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim. However, our Mishnah is referring Shemes LeMes B'Shloish Osir. The mace was Nifter on the 13th. The Kavroi, the Kfur, was on the next day, on Erev Pesach and Abba Osir. So, even though the Yom HaMisa extends into the night afterwards, the Yom Kfur does not. Yom Kfura LeTofis Laila Midrabanan. The night afterwards is only a very low level on Ninus, and therefore we can be more likely. Ask the Gemara, Mantana Aninus Lailam Drabonan, who is the Tana that has this opinion? Rav Shimoni. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, Aninus Lailam Divrei Torah, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Aninus at night is a Doraisa. Rav Shimon says, Oinen Einam Divrei Torah, he's not an Oinen on that night Midoraisa, El Midivrei Seifim, only Midrabonan. Teda, and Rav Shimon proves his point. Shrei Amru, Einan type of Eichlas Pesachal Arif, Avloi Kachim. So we see that since the entire Aninus at night is only the Rabbanon, we could be more lenient. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That the Sover of Shimon Aninus Lailam the Rabbanon, that Aninus at night is only the Rabbanon, V'tanya, Rav Shimon Einan Mishalech L'Kabonaisov, Einan is not allowed to send his Kabonis. My laugh, does Rav Shimon not mean Bafilah Pesach? Why? If we're saying that if Erev Pesach, that according to Rav Shimon, since Aninus Laila is only the Rabbanon, we could bring the carbon today because we'll be able to eat tonight, why should we be strict? Says the Gemara, loyal Mitbari Pesach. He means it's not Pesach. All other Kabbonis. V'tanya, Rav Shimon Oyim Shlomim. Rav Shimon says, who could bring a carbon? Only somebody who's shlomim. Kishu shalom maybe. Only when he has inner peace. Then maybe kishu oinen. Menayin l'rabbis satoida. How do we know to include that an oinen cannot bring a carbon toida? Ma'abani satoida shekein nechelos besimcha kishlomim. A carbon toida also should be eaten besimcha. In fact, the Pesach can say this is the reason the minig is that an ovel doesn't do the hakafis on sukkis or in Simchas Torah, because they have to be done b'simcha, and an oinen, an ovel is not b'simcha. Menayin l'rabbis as oila, that he too should not bring it. Marbin is oila, she came bob and nedim in the dove kishlomim. Menayin l'rabbis continues the b'rais, continues Rav Shimon, b'chor u'mais u'pesach. Says Rav Shimon, marbani b'chor u'mais u'pesach, she came bo'in al-chait. They don't come for any specific aveira, and therefore they shouldn't be brought at that time. Menayin l'rabbis chatz for osham, Tamloim is Zevach. Menayin l'rabbis ha'oifus v'anokhis. that an oinin should not bring as well. Vayayin, ve'etzim. Machlokes, what does etzim mean? Some say that if somebody donates, Rashi says that anybody who donated etzim from the Mizbeach would bring a carbon along with that. Others say there was something we spoke about earlier called a carbon etzim, where there's a carbon just of wood that's treated like a carbon, minchah to a degree. Tamloy mishlomim, kabonoi. Kol kabonis kishumevi, kishushalamevi. He has to bring it when he's shalom, veinamevi kishonim oinim. But the bottom line is, here it says that Reb Shimon says that he doesn't bring the Pesach. So we said before Reb Shimon holds that he brings the Pesach because he could eat it at night, and here he says he can't. So the Gemara gives two trutzim. The Gemara gives a number of trutzim, actually. Arav Chizda, Pesach, Kedei Nazbi. Pesach should be only viewed as an incidental. Actually, the Pesach may be brought because he could eat it at night, and there's a reason to eat it at night because it has a chiv karus. Rav Sheshi Sama, my Pesach, what is meant by Pesach? Shalmi Pesach. We know on Pesach they brought along a Karban Chagiga, because the Karban Chagiga was eaten, that you should be able to eat the Karban Pesach al soiva when he's satiated. As tomorrow, so Karban Chagiga is Shlomim. And we already, Yochanan Shlomim. So why does it have to be repeated? We already mentioned Shlomim in this Braisa. Answer more, Tanah Shlomim Aboim Machmas Pesach, but Tanah Shlomim Aboim Machmas Atzman. There are two types of Shlomim. There's a regular Karban Shlomim, and there's a Shalmi Chagiga that are brought. Not the regular carbon chagiga of a yontif. Not the carbon oilus chayvus re'iyah. It's the shlom that you eat, that you should be able to eat the carbon pesach al soiva. Diloy tana shlom abo machmas pesach. Salkadat chamin. If they weren't mentioned separately, we would think that hoil machmas pesach kasi, you're only bringing them in order that you should be able to eat the carbon pesach al soiva. They should be treated like the gufa de pesach dummy. They should be treated like a carbon pesach. Kamash malon. That even though we're lenient on the carbon pesach, that it can be brought when the person is an oinin, because tonight he'll be able to eat it. The heter, the leniency, is limited to the Karan Pesach, not to the Chagiga that's brought along with it.